Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, absolute power does corrupt absolutely. And it's me, it's Mr. FSP, sitting in for your main man, your host, JPATM Money. He's had a few things he needed to take care of, so I'm here to discuss a great host of things for the show. Normally, Jerry likes to play some music. He likes to get you grooving and moving and all that other good stuff. I don't really have any great music for you, but I'm going to play this one. Here we go.
Hold my calls and get in touch with ESC. Give them the message, give them a red alert. Tell them I need them, tell them it's time to work. Tell them I'm home, thinking of my profits. Going out in the world to teach knowledge to the brothers and sisters that don't know about the mother, about the right way to go. Stop them from selling out. Teach them what
God
is all about. Go out and tell them it's time to take a stand. Why do you work? Thinking of a master plan.
There you go. JPATM Money with Master Plan. You know what? EPMD. You got to give credit to EPMD for putting that one. Jerry finally found a track to open up his show. I wish he would have told me earlier. I could have played it for him. But on today's show, it's me, Mr. FSP. I'm sitting there for Jerry. I'm going to talk a little bit of baseball. Guess who's coming back to the NFL? Greg Williams. Reportedly, Greg Williams is coming back to the NFL. We're going to tell you where and how this is coming about. Yes, he's getting reinstated, even though he was banned for life. He got a Pete Rose-type deal. He was banned indefinitely. Let me put it that way, not for life, but indefinitely, meaning there was no particular time given for him to return. Also, we'll talk a little bit about basketball. You know, we'll talk about those Lakers and why D'Antonio thinks less of Kobe shooting is a better thing. His quote, not mine, but I'm not going to play his quote. We're going to talk or listen to Dwight Howard and hear what he has to say about that. Baseball season's coming up. And I love it, and I love it, and I love it. It's not America's favorite pastime, even though that's what it's billed as. It's changed over the years. It isn't the steroid era, so the king of the home run isn't ruling the sports networks anymore. Matter of fact, those guys couldn't even get into the Hall of Fame. Probably won't get into the Hall of Fame because of steroids. We'll see. We'll talk a little bit about some major transactions that have taken place in the world of baseball. Also, the Senior Bowl was last night, and we'll talk about that and how unimpressed Mike Mayock was. And there's a war on performance-enhancing drugs, since we're talking about baseball. There's a war on performing-enhancing drugs, and Major League Baseball has taken it to one city in the United States. We'll read up and discuss some of this stuff as we kick off this show. If you want to call in, feel free. 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. It's me, Tavis FSP. And if you want to get in on the chat line or, you know, in our chat room, you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com, VICHBK. Hang out in there, type up, you know, your question, your comment, and, you know, we'll try to read it on the air. Maybe. We'll try. Now, I'm going to start the show off with this because Jerry had brought this to my attention, that Tiger Woods and his ex are somewhat back together or looking to reconcile. And that's the reason why Tiger has been doing so well as of late. Now, I saw an article where Tiger had been hanging out with his wife. Now, I will say this, maybe not, but 9 times out of 10, they have some children together. She is not going to turn her children away from their father. So I'm not saying they're going to reconcile, but I think Tiger is trying to be a part of his children's life. And it just so happens he and his wife or ex-wife went out a few times and were cordial. Is it so strange to be cordial to your ex? Whether it's your wife, your husband, your ex-girlfriend, ex-boyfriend, whatever it is it that strange to us now that you can't be cordial to somebody just because you're no longer in a relationship with them? Now, I know kissing and hugging and other things are a little more than cordial, but again, is it strange? No. We'll see. We'll see as that story develops. If Tiger starts winning and she starts showing up at the tournaments, it's on like hot butter popcorn. But at any rate, let's move on. I'm going to talk about a topic that is interesting. I'm going to talk about the L.A. Lakers. Dwight Howard says that there is a reason that these guys struggle. And it's a good reason, you know, because struggling, it builds character. And with the expectations that the Lakers have, it makes them stronger. Here's what Dwight Howard had to say.
No, people have high expectations. And also I have high expectations for myself. But I just got to fight through it, you know. I think this is a true test, you know, for us and for certain guys individually.
Certain guys individually. Is that a shot at Kobe Bryant? I'm not trying to start no trouble. You know, I'm just here to do the Super Bowl shuffle. Because Kobe, if you all recall, if you follow sports, last week, said something about, you know, in response to a question from a reporter about did the message sink in to Dwight about, you know, being a team player, and Kobe smugly said no. And they went out and lost that game, and they won Friday night. And D'Antonio was saying that it's a good thing when Kobe doesn't have the ball as much in his hand. And it's better for the Lakers if he doesn't. Now, let's examine that. Kobe is the franchise. He is the man in La La Land. Not La La Honey Nut Cheerios. Sorry, Carmelo. Didn't mean to go there. But he's the man for the Lakers. Paul Gasol has been relegated to a bench role for Dwight Howard. Paul Gasol is not a bench player. He's not the sixth man. They're not going to be able to use him the same way they did Lamar Odom. Totally different types of players. Totally different types of mindsets. You can't do that with Paul Gasol. So when Dwight says you'll find out the character of individual players and things of that nature, who's he referring to other than Kobe? Who? Ron Artest, he's been satisfied with his role. He's paid. He's got a championship or two. Steve Blake never has been the man. Antoine Jameson was the man, then became a bench guy, was the man again, became a bench guy. He's gone through that. You know? There's really nobody else left other than he and Kobe. All I'm saying on that front is The Lakers are imploding before your eyes. D'Antonio says you don't want to get the ball to Kobe. Kobe thinks otherwise. Fans think otherwise. It's not a good situation for him. I mean, I'll play this soundbite right here because Stan Van Gundy had said something about one player on that team that might be suffering. Here's what he said.
Here he is, two-time MVP, playing in the twilight of his career, trying to go to a place and have a chance for it, to play for it all. And what does he get? He gets a bunch of guys who look dissatisfied and morose half the time.
That guy that Van Gundy's talking about is Steve Nash. Steve Nash, is Dwight Howard talking about Steve Nash's character or is his own character? I mean, I'm honestly asking the question. Who is Dwight talking about in that soundbite? I mean, even Van Gundy can tell that Steve Nash is unhappy. You don't have a happy place in L.A. Maybe the Clippers, but not the Lakers. Get your thoughts real quick, 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. You can always join us in the chat room here on blogtalkradio.com/BICHBK. It's tough. It's tough to be in that Laker locker room right now. But I digress because the Memphis Grizzlies are the surprise of the NBA. Can they maintain this winning philosophy and winning streak all the way through? Can they actually give the Miami Heat or whoever comes out of the East Conference a run for their money? Derrick Rose is coming back to the Bulls. I think he'll be back this week, if I'm not mistaken. For all you fantasy players out there, trust me, I drafted a bunch of injured players, and they're just not coming back. Like, I drafted John Wall, Derrick Rose, Amari Stoudemire, Iman Shumpert. I drafted several guys. I got them pretty, like, mid to late rounds for them, but I got them. And fantasy-wise, I'm like, in that league, I'm like 4-8. But I believe my fortunes are going to turn around with the other players. I have to have KD on that team. I've got, Meta World Peace, several other key players that kept me afloat while my guards came back. So we'll see what happens with that. But my team doesn't need to find its character. I'm just saying. Let's move on. And let's talk a little baseball. There's a lot of movement going on in the world of baseball right now. If you're a baseball fan, you know it's called the hot stove. And during the winter time is when these guys are either playing winter ball and or their owners are trading them or they're signing, you know, contracts to play in the minors only to get pulled up or to retire. We're going to talk about a big trade that took place between the Atlanta Braves and the Arizona Diamondbacks on this past Thursday. Now, if you listen to all the shows we have here, you know, the Master Plan, FSP Crew Show on Thursdays, FSP on Saturdays, and sometimes the Master, No Chaser on Fridays. We've talked a little bit about this trade, especially on Saturday's show, where you had Justin Upton and Chris Johnson, okay, all on the same team. Getting traded to the Braves for Martin Prado and Randall Delgado. And Lars Anderson gets designated for assignment. But it's a seven-player deal that took place. I mean, it's crazy. But now you have the Upton brothers along with Howard or Hayward in the outfield. He got a pretty decent first baseman over there in Atlanta. Pitching staff is pretty good. Are the Braves trying to be a powerhouse this year? Now, I understand getting Justin Upton is a good move. Martin Prado is a very, very good infielder. He is. I like Prado. I really like Prado. I wouldn't say he's a top-tier player. Justin Upton is pretty daggone good. You got him, and then the Rays let his brother go to the Braves. It's crazy, in my opinion. I think the Braves are going to turn it up a notch and contend. I mean, they saw what the Nationals could do. You know, the Nationals have always been a hitting team. They could hit. But their pitching was an issue. Last year, their pitching came around. They were one out away from going to the NLCS. One out away. So they go ahead and get Soriano from the Yankees. And now they have like three bona fide closers. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens there. But back to the Rays, losing their talent. And they had a small market to begin with. But Evan Longoria says he likes the moves that the Tampa Bay Rays have been making.
I love the moves that we made. I mean, obviously, you know, losing BJ and James was a huge loss for us, but we've filled in those voids as best we could. And you know, the AL East, the division that we play in, is always tough. And so I always look forward to getting back out there and just being with the new guys and enjoying it.
So you think BJ Upton and James Shields losing those guys is a good point? Hey, Evan, I got two words for you. I can't say them because I'm not BS and I don't want WWE to sue me for using that term, you know, on the air. But are you serious? Are you serious? Let me do a Miz moment. Really? 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 That's nuts. Big Game James is, well, Dave, I think Price, you know, had the most wins last year. But you coupled him with James, and you had a pretty good back-to-back set of pitchers. Now you got to go out there and find a better pitcher. I understand it's a small market. I understand the money isn't always going to flow in. I got it. BJ Upton isn't a slouch. You're putting him, you pretty much let him just walk away, and he landed in Atlanta where he's protected. So now there's Hayward, BJ, his brother, Justin, first baseman. He's got a lot of talent. A lot of talent in that lineup, offensively and defensively. But Evan Longoria feels because they're in the AL East that they can still contend. Are you nuts? The Orioles are better. Last year was proof. Now, can they sustain that? I don't know. I don't know. I really can't answer that. But they were young and they were better. Buck Showalter has them on the uprise. He really does. Then, after that, you've got the Yankees, who are forever going to contend, no matter how old they are or whatever it is, because their pockets are so deep. I mean, who has the Yankees signed? I mean, I'm going down the list. They signed, excuse me, David Robertson. So they could avoid arbitration with him. And Dan Johnson to a minor league deal. Thomas Neal to a minor league deal. Come on now. But yet, they're always in contention. Always. Then you have Toronto Blue Jays. They just got R.A. Dickey, the knuckleballer, from the Mets. Now, will that play well? Well, it might. It might play well because if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember his name right now, but the Red Sox had a knuckleballer who did pretty well. Buchholz did pretty well with a knuckleballer pitching style for the Red Sox year before last. And I think he did pretty well this year, if I'm not mistaken. So that might work out. But Toronto doesn't have the bats. Bautista can't stay healthy. I mean, I get it. He's a very, very solid outfielder, and his stick is strong. But the past couple seasons, he's been hurt. He's been hurt for long periods of time. And then you look over here on the West Coast. What is Anaheim doing? Are they spending Disney's money? They are loaded. Albert Pujols, Trout. Who's a daggone second-year guy, didn't have to pay him much, but they will in a little while. Then they get Hamilton. Are you serious? Who are you going to pitch to between those three? You can't walk all three. You're going to load the bases every time? And then their pitching's pretty daggone good. You're going to have to pitch to somebody. I guarantee you they're going to pitch to Albert now. They're going to pitch to Albert. Albert Pujols will probably get the most pitches to hit out of the three. That is a powered lineup. Fantasy baseball is coming, guys. Trust me. I've got my eyes on all three of them. Now, Trout will probably be my first pick if I'm lucky to get him. Then I'm going to follow that up if he's still there with Hamilton. And probably around maybe fifth roundish. Trust me, a lot of people are going to look at Albert and be like, he's degraded. And they said it last year. A lot of folks said it last year. But Albert Pujols is degraded, and you know, he can't do this, can't do that. He didn't have the same numbers. He didn't. I mean, he's on the decline. He really is. But when you put him in that lineup with Hamilton and Trout, I'm taking a risk on him. I'm going to take a risk. Hamilton and Trout make Pujols' stock rise. It really does. And if I'm lying, well, you can't sue me because I'm not telling you to go do something bad. I'm just giving you some food for thought. You know, just a little food for thought. You know, keep it in your bag, put it away, store it for a rainy day. Spring ball is about to come in about a month or two, and then we get to the real deal. Some baseball. I'm trying to teach my kids to play it. Not really too much into it yet, mainly because I'm really am worried about hitting a ball and my oldest son's reaction not being as quick as it needs to be, or my youngest son's reaction not being as quick as it needs to be. I'm not going to hit it hard. You know, I'm not going to be hitting some liners at them. You know, so I want to get them to learn how to ground, you know, hit grounders and catch pop-ups and stuff like that. But the coordination, got to work with their coordination. We'll see what happens with that. Let's move on to the next topic as we reach the halfway point of today's show. Again, it's me, Mr. FSP, sitting in the place to be for JT ATM Money. He had a previous engagement, but he's thinking of a master plan, and it was me. I'm here, 50 grand. I love some baseball, though. So does Jerry. I mean, he won this hurts to say, our fantasy league last year, he was he led the league from beginning to the very end, the regular season and the playoffs. Now, since he's not here, I'm not going to crack on him and say why I think he won, but if he was here, I'd bring it up. Oh, I'd bring it up. But we're going to talk about some people in fantasy football and in football in general that are impact individuals. Now, I'm going to talk about the Super Bowl right now. I'll talk about the Super Bowl, I'll talk about the Senior Bowl, and I'll talk about Greg Williams returning to the NFL. Okay? Wow, this is interesting here. But let me go here. Ray Lewis talks about how the streets taught him how to be who he is. Now, if you've never grown up in an urban area or in a household or an environment that was volatile, where education is talked about as being the top thing, but really isn't, where violence or violence is the number one thing that you're worried about when you're going to school, walking to school, catching a bus, your parents aren't dropping you off because either they're working or they're in a bad way of some sort, and you pretty much have to raise yourself. That's what Ray Lewis is talking about. That's what raised him and made him the person that he is today. Let's hear from Ray right now.
Didn't have a clue. I was a young, talented NFL player that was raised without the teachings of a father. So the streets taught me a lot.
Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, anyone that's raised with a father is better than someone raised without a father. I'm a product of a single-parent home. If you recall, back in the 80s, they called it the nuclear family or the extended family. That's actually a theorem derived from a Russian child development psychologist. Yes, that theory, nuclear extended and all that, those are foreign. Russian and German concepts that were brought to America, and we use them, and we explain our lifestyles as far as kids and the family lifestyle with it. You know, Ray Lewis says that the streets raised him because he was without his father. He developed into this great person, an NFL player, but there were many trials and tribulations to his success. You know, there's another player that's playing in this game that had a similar situation, but wasn't the tragic side of it. It was tragic, but not to the point of, you know, being in violent situations. I'm talking about Frank Gore. If you didn't know Frank Gore's mom, she's no longer with us. And he's saying that this Super Bowl is going to be dedicated to his mom. Take a listen.
I miss her. I love her. And I know she's happy, right? You know, just her son, you know, who went through so much, you know, coming up, you know, high school, college, and NFL, and finally he get the opportunity to play in a big game that everybody, you know, who play, you know, just playing in the NFL, her son get a chance to do it.
Frank Gore is one of those quiet assassins. And I'm sorry if I said his mom wasn't with us. I apologize about that. But Frank Gore is one of those characters that when you meet him in the hole, you're either going back or to the side. Rarely does Frank Gore go backward. These two men are very, very prominent in their organizations. The 49ers have been trying to replace Frank Gore for the past couple years because of the wear and tear on his body. But he keeps coming back. the Ravens tried to replace Ray Lewis with younger players. But the character and the mindset and the athleticism and the leadership, oh, the leadership of this guy prevents them from doing that. He's finally stepping down, and they're going to have to replace him. But the leadership these two men provide to their teams, outstanding. Everybody's talking about Kaepernick, Kaepernick this, Kaepernick that. Yeah, the kid is great. The kid is great. But if you ask, the leader of the 49ers, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Vernon Davis. You know, Vernon Davis had to grow up when Singletary was there. He was a coach. Mike Nolan drafted him. Mike Nolan drafted a lot of good players for that 49er team. He should be getting the Super Bowl invite, at least to come. I don't think the 49ers are going to win a Super Bowl. I honestly don't. But it's going to be a good game. But you look at these leaders of these teams, these men, both of them, Frank Gore and Ray Lewis, they play with passion. Ray shows more passion than Frank does. He's a more extroverted person, and Frank is more of an introverted person. But they both get results. In this game, you're going to find out how tough these two guys are. Now, I think what you'll see is this. A lot of triple tight end sets. You're going to see Delanie Walker, if he's in a blocking situation, you're going to see him meet Ray Lewis a little bit in the hole and try to set things up for Frank. But don't forget about LaMichael James. I'm telling you, LaMichael James can be the X factor in this game, but it won't be enough for the 49ers to win the game. Just my thoughts. But when you sit there and you actually break down the teams, which we did yesterday on the show, we broke them down slightly. Jerry talked about how the 49ers have youth and speed and maybe one or two people with experience, David Akers and Randy Moss, both played in the Super Bowl, both lost. Akers with the Eagles, Randy with the Patriots. Then you flip it to the other side with the Ravens. Ray Lewis played and won a Super Bowl with them. I believe he is one of the only remaining few to have done that. If I'm not mistaken, I don't believe. I think the offensive line. I really do, because I don't think there's anybody else on the Ravens team, starting team, that has a Super Bowl ring. I got to investigate. I'm not sure, but it might be a coach or something like that, but I don't think there's anybody else there. But there are eight people in the game between the 49ers and the Ravens that have played in a Super Bowl. Tough. Leadership will prevail in this game. Mark my words. Ray Lewis's leadership will prevail. Ray Lewis is going to go out as a Super Bowl champion, two-time Super Bowl champion, and a bona fide first ballot Hall of Famer. Bona fide. I want to talk about the Hall of Fame as well, but we have two other stories we want to get to. So we're going to show the Hall of Fame deal for now. Let's just say there are some things that we'll find out today. We'll find out. Let's read this article real quick about the Senior Bowl, because last night the Senior Bowl took place, and quarterback from Florida State won the MVP, but was he impressive enough to garner some interest. Now, granted, the kid is good. E.J. Manuel is good. However, is he on the level of Russell Wilson, RG3, Colin Kaepernick, as far as running the spread option in the NFL? I don't know. In an interview, he stated that those guys gave him inspiration to know that he can play in the NFL at the quarterback position if put in that same situation. But is his talent good enough to warrant a high pick and to change your offense for him? He's a good passer, very good passer, but just not good enough. A lot of people, including a friend of mine, said that my guy from Minnesota, oh my goodness, his name escapes me right now. I was at it, a producer in my ear to give me his name. Christian Ponder, there you go. Christian Ponder was a excellent quarterback and would be a first-round pick and da-da-da-da-da. And I told him, no, he's smoking, he's joking. Turns out he was right. Ponder ended up being a first-round pick, but is he the guy that's going to lead the Vikings in the future? I don't think so. I know Leslie Frazier is tied to him, but with AP running the ball the way he is, that's great. But you can't run AP 300 times like he did this past year with Ponder back there not hitting open players and, you know, receivers not being open and things of that nature. Can't do it. Cannot do it. You know, it's just not going to happen for him, in my opinion. Let's read about the Senior Bowl. And I'm getting this off of NFL.com. Bucky Brooks wrote this article. He says, the Senior Bowl was exactly a showcase of premier quarterbacks Saturday. No one looked deserved of a first-round pick. That's what we're talking about. NFL Network analyst Mike Mayock said the word on Florida State quarterback E.J. Manuel is he might be a third or fourth-round pick. Are you going to tailor your offense to a third or fourth-round pick at quarterback? Okay, maybe Colin Kaepernick did it, but this is his second year. He had to stay behind Alex Smith, who he clearly is better than. Mayock listed five players who made money in Mobile, Alabama this week, and none were quarterbacks. The five are Central Michigan tackle Eric Fisher, Louisiana Tech receiver Quentin Patton, Kentucky guard Larry Walford, Oklahoma tackle Lane Johnson, and Carolina center Brian Schwick. Swinky, I'm sorry. Now, this is not an impressive stat line right here. E.J. Manuel completed 7 of 10 passes for 71 yards and a touchdown and an interception. Arkansas's Tyler Wilson was 8 of 11 for 40 yards, and Oklahoma Landry Jones, who was supposed to be a number one pick or a top five pick a couple years ago, he completed just 3 of 9 passes for 16 yards. Really? Then on the north side, Miami's Zach Dirks was 10 of 16 for 93 yards with a touchdown and an interception. North Carolina State Mike Glennon completed 8 of 16 passes for 82 yards, and Syracuse's Ryan Nezip was 4 of 10 for 44 yards and threw an interception. Now remember, the coach of the Buffalo Bills coached this guy, made him very successful at Syracuse. Very successful. Will it translate to the NFL? I don't think so. You know, it's crazy because quarterbacks had an opportunity to change opinions this week, and the group was underwhelming as expected, according to Mike Mayock and Bucky Brooks. Not a good look. This draft is not, you know what, I applaud the Redskins. I was kind of skeptical when they made the trade for RG3, or for the draft spot for RG3 and giving up all those draft picks. But apparently they saw that in this draft, not just at the quarterback position, but all over, unless you're at the offensive line position, it's a weak draft class. If you find a gem, it's going to be offensive or defensive line. Maybe a linebacker. Maybe. Coochley was a surprise last year to me. I mean, I knew he was going to do well, but I didn't know he was going to lead the league in tackles from the middle linebacker position. A rookie middle linebacker leading the league? Unheard of. Truly unheard of. But it happened. But again, this year's crop of players, it's not that good. And we'll see in a couple weeks at the combine. We'll see what these guys are working with. Their measurables are okay. You know, bench press is okay. But when you see them in the individual skill drills, you're probably going to see a lot of drop balls offensively from the receivers and tight ends. You're going to see probably some off-target passes from the quarterbacks. You're going to see some sloppy hip movement with the DBs. Maybe you'll see some good linebacker play and lineman play. But, you know, these drills are designed to showcase your talents. And with the Redskins, you know, giving away their first-round pick for the next 2 years to the Rams and finishing, you know, so well this year that it's a low first-round pick anyway. So you can say it was like a second-round pick. I think they're giving up the 21st or 22nd pick. You never want to give up picks, but when you have a quarterback like RG3 or Andrew Luck or obsolete at that, you can do something like that and get away with it because they make your team that much better. Now, will RG3 come back next year and be the athletic quarterback that he was this year? I don't know. I don't know. Do the Redskins go out and draft a third quarterback to be just as athletic, like a E.J. Manuel? Kirk Cousins is no slouch. He's a very good pocket passer. You know, he's a very good pocket passer. Will he start in the NFL on his own team? One day. One day. Skins will probably trade him, get some draft picks for him. He'll go and do the same thing that Shaw did. Look really well in some other offense that's a basic NFL offense, and, you know, that'll be that. But this year's crop, not good at all. Not in my opinion. And neither in Mike Mayock's opinion either. Well, let's move on to one last subject matter in the area of professional football. And that would be Greg Williams. Greg Williams. Oh, Greg Williams. If you're not familiar with Greg Williams was the defensive coordinator of the New Orleans Saints and former defensive coordinator of New Orleans Saints, Washington Redskins, former head coach of the Buffalo Bills, and controversy follows him. Bounty gate. This whole bounty thing came about because of him and his comments and some things that he allegedly ask of his players. He's also the individual that the NFL put out there and said he signed an affidavit saying that you players did this, so therefore he's right and we're going to suspend you guys, which we found later on was overturned. And you know, Williams was revealed as the person that was the quote-unquote snitch and some other things. But with that being said, Greg Williams is a very good defensive-minded coach. He has a bend-but-don't-break thought process given the right tools. When he was a defensive coordinator for the Redskins, you know, he had Sean Taylor and he put Sean Taylor in a position to be a big hitter and a Pro Bowler. Unfortunately, Sean Taylor passed away to home invasion that went completely wrong and died, but that was a guy that Greg Williams could count on to do whatever it is he needed to do on the field. He didn't need to rile him up because he was a dedicated player. But Greg Williams apparently is coming back to the NFL. And apparently he's gonna coach, or he's gonna be a front office man. He's gonna be something for the Tennessee Titans. Here's Adam Schefter on, you know, the Greg Williams hire.
Greg Williams, the suspended former Saints defensive coordinator, could be soon joining the Tennessee Titans coaching staff. He has met with the team. He still will have to be reinstated by the NFL commissioner Roger Goodell. The two sides still would have to work out a contract, but my understanding is that both sides are motivated to make this happen.
So, Greg is motivated to make it happen, so is the NFL. Let me read something from NFL.com here. It says, the man most responsible for New Orleans Saints bounty scandal is nearing a return to the NFL. Greg Williams is expected to be hired in some capacity by the Tennessee Titans. A source with knowledge of the situation told NFL.com's Ian Rappaport. Williams remains suspended indefinitely by the NFL, but the league allows him to start pursuing jobs. Really? How are you going to do that when this guy's suspended indefinitely? Williams does not have any meetings scheduled with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell yet. When Williams was suspended indefinitely last year, conventional wisdom said Williams' career could be over. But the NFL fraternity of coaches is tight, and relationships matter. Williams has a prior relationship with Titans defensive coordinator Jerry Gray, who once worked under Williams in Buffalo. Williams worked for Titans owner Bud Adams between 1997 and 2000, Jeff Fisher's defensive coordinator. Williams also has a relationship with Titans coach Mike Munchak from that era. Now, if you recall, this whole suspension thing came about when he was set to be the defensive coordinator for the St. Louis Rams. His son is now the defensive coordinator up there, and he set out a year. And again, a lot of folks, like the article says, I'm one of them, said that this guy should never coach in the NFL again. He shouldn't even coach on the college level. But somehow, some way, he's getting back. And that line that was written here by the NFL reporter Greg Rosenthal around the league editor says, you know, the coaching fraternity is tight and relationships matter. I got that. But if you're going to bring this cat on board, all the controversy and scrutiny that he's going to bring towards your team, is it worth it? Honestly, let's think about this now. Truly, and honestly, let's think about it. Greg Williams is a great defensive mind. However, you bring about the ability for someone in the NFL, every person with a camera, to scrutinize and videotape and get close in on everything he says or his team says or the defensive players say. Because the moment someone says, where's my money? Where's my money? Or something like that, it's on. Now I get it. Mike Munchak is fighting for his job in Tennessee. Truth be told, he probably should have been fired this year, but I can see how Bud Adams says Chris Johnson didn't perform, Locker didn't perform, Kenny Britt and all of those guys didn't perform where he should have got it. The defense was an Achilles heel, but their offense didn't help either. So you bring him in. Let's say he becomes the linebacker coach and eventually becomes the defensive coach. Then eventually he becomes the head coach. The more this guy is in the league, the more the stigma of his style of play and his win-at-all-cost attitude will prevail. I can't wait to see the New Orleans Saints go up against them if Jonathan Vilma is still with the Saints, because Jonathan Vilma, you know, he felt betrayed. He felt abandoned. When the word came out that it was Greg Williams who was the whistleblower on the players, not the whole thing, but on the players, Jonathan Vilma was heated. He was upset to the nth degree. If you know algebra, you know nth is unknown. I mean, Hargrove out of the league. The defensive tackle, Anthony Hargrove, out of the league. You know, you got players. Their lives are turned upside down. They couldn't work. They couldn't practice. They were labeled. Greg Williams going to the NFL again in whatever capacity is not a good thing. You know you're going to get a winner or a defensive mind that can win. You know you're going to get that, but oof. The price you're going to pay for it is I don't know. Just think about that one. I can't tell you. I won't tell you. But what I do think is this: Greg Williams should not be in the NFL. I'm going to read some comments made here on NFL.com, one by Brandon Bartell. Saints got what they deserve. I hope he doesn't get reinstated. There's no place for this stuff, for stuff like what he's done. He doesn't deserve to be involved in the greatest sport in the world. It's an honor and a privilege to be involved with the NFL, and such a dishonorable man doesn't deserve to influence the game whatsoever. Now, I can agree with that. Brandon didn't know I was going to read this, but I put it up there. Is there honor among thieves? Is there honor in this sport? I mean, I love the president, but he even came out and said something needs to be done about player safety. He's right. But what? Junior Seau, you know, his parents slapped a lawsuit against the NFL because they found that he had the signs and the injuries of someone suffering, I can't remember the name of it, CLF or CFL, not CFL, this brain trauma disease. And recently, doctors found it in alive humans that play football. Now, they're saying the studies are a little different because the patterns aren't exactly the same as those of a dead person. Of course they're not. They're dead. This person's alive. But if the symptoms are there, if the symptoms are there for this brain trauma, we need to start finding a way to treat it. I'm not blaming Greg Williams for this brain trauma or saying that because of him, you know, these players are going out doing reckless things. What I'm saying is these guys, motivated by money, motivated by the opportunity to win, motivated by Super Bowl glory, are willing to sacrifice their bodies in any way, shape, or form. I used to be one of them. Not in the NFL. High school, semi-pro. I wasn't that good, couldn't make it to the pros. But I would go out there and I would play. I played wide receiver and a little D-back, and in semi-pro I played quarterback and wide receiver. But I went out there in one game, at a dislocated, my ankle was dislocated, my throwing arm, the rotator cuff was torn without detachment, had a concussion, and something else I can't even remember. But I continued to play that game. On the way back, I couldn't even drive myself home. My buddy, who was on the team, had to drive my car, and one of our buddies drove his car. And on the way home, I had rolled the window down and spit up. I probably had a concussion. I definitely believe I had a concussion. But Greg Williams is like the face of violence in the NFL right now. Good luck with that, Titans. That's all I can say is good luck, because the guy is somewhat of a cancer. He might bring you results on the field, but the scrutiny that he's going to bring to that organization is unprecedented. Is it warranted? I don't know. You're in a division that's weak to begin with. Jacksonville's trying to get stronger. They're trying to get better. They got a good head coach now. Let's see if they get the pieces together. Houston, they've got one or two more years to be on top of that division before Andrew Luck and the Colts take it back. One more year, one or two years. Okay? Houston, Jacksonville, Tennessee. Who's the other team in the South? I can't even remember right now. Houston, Jacksonville, hold on. Now I got to go look it up. It's that bad. I had to look it up. NFL.com. They're going to tell me real quick, because I can't remember the fourth team in the South. Oh, excuse me. It's Houston, Jacksonville, Tennessee, and the Colts. And I just said the Colts earlier. Dummy, I'm slow. But, good luck with that, Tennessee. Good luck with that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming toward the end of this show. We've got about 2.5 minutes left. So what I'm going to do right now is give you a preview of what's coming up this week on our little network here called FSP. On Thursday, the crew, Jeff, Black, and Jerry, are going to bring you some great insight on the week in sports. I believe they're going to start talking about some college basketball as we near February, getting ready for March Madness, breaking down who should be seated where and who's going to be upset, things of that nature. So get ready for that. Also, we're going to probably have a guest or two on that show. I know Black is down. His back is not feeling well. So we'll see what happens there with Black, and send our prayers up to him or for him. And hopefully he gets better. Then on Friday, I have No Chase with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Mac is bringing in some very good guests. Very good guests. This past week, he had a noted author, Matthew Horn, author of the book Choices, how a young black male can be successful. It's a very good show. Very good guest. But this week he has, I believe, the young lady, first young lady to ever do or win a dunk contest with, she did the blindfolded dunk. And I believe she'll be on this week. So check her out. And then on Saturday, you got me, Mr. FSP, with FSP. And I do everything. I talk about everything under the sun. I'm talking MMA this week, though. MMA and football and basketball. Getting you guys up for some baseball, all right? So I want to thank you guys for listening to the show. Jerry will be back next week. But until he comes back, I got to tell you, I enjoy doing it for him. He's my man, 50 grand. And you know what? You've been listening to The Master Plan, so I'm trying to find this man's music so I can play it out. I had it all set up, too. It was going to be nice. Here we go. I'm your man, 50 grand. We out. See y'all next week. Ooh.
got a plan, some sort of strategy. Hold my calls and get in touch with ESD. Give them the message, give them a red alert. Tell them I need them, tell them it's time to work. Tell them I'm home, thinking of my prophets. Going out in the world to teach knowledge to the brothers and sisters that don't know about the mother, about the right way to go. Stop them from selling out. Teach them what pride is all about. Go out and tell them it's time to take a stand. YZ is worth thinking.